ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Thursday morning out there, Western and Northwestern Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We get into all kinds of different subjects. We might let Jared vent a little bit at the end of the show.
Really?
About the proposed trade between the Rangers and the Yankees.
Oh, yeah.
See what he thinks about that. You've got Aaron Rodgers. It's just so funny to me. This entire summer, people have been asking, when I say people, I mean the media, has been asking, what's the truth? Tell us something, Aaron Rodgers. What is it? And then when he tells you and tells the truth, everybody gets mad at him.
True.
It's just kind of ironic how that works. So we might get into that. We can wrap up Simone Biles. I don't know if a lot of people are aware. I mean, listen, everybody has their thoughts on it, and everybody can have their thoughts on it, and that's fine. We don't have to debate.
No, we can't, because if our thoughts are not agreeing with everyone else's thoughts, then we're bad people.
But
right?
But here's the problem. It's not cut and dried. It's not black and white. Even if you think she quit on her teammates, you can also say, but it was a good reason because of her mental health. It's not one or the other. And I think that's it shows you the polarization of America, in my mind, that you have to be on one side or the other. You either have to barbecue her and just skewer her for her actions, or you have to call her courageous for quitting. There's an in-between there that's not really allowed to be discussed. But well, you know where there's not an in-between? Do you know about the Korean golfers, the South Korean male golfers?
No. No, I don't.
And the pressure that they face?
Can't imagine.
So in South Korea, males have until their 28th to serve a mandatory 18 months in the military.
Okay.
Mandatory.
Right.
For every male in that country. Except there are very, very, very few exceptions. One of those, if you win an Olympic medal.
Oh. You like any medal?
Any medal. A golf one. And so right now, Siwoo Kim, who is 26 years old, has won on the tour. The pressure that's on him right now is either win a medal or you have to serve in the military for 18 months. Because he's 26, there won't be another Olympics. This is it.
Yeah, that's a lot
you
of
have
pressure.
You have to take off for 18 months of a lucrative PGA Tour career as we speak and serve in the military. Now that, my friends, is pressure.
That's pressure.
The other guy, Sung J.M., who's playing as well, he's only 23, so he would have another shot to be able to maybe, the next Olympics. But that's the real pressure.
Hmm.
And, of course, we can start with hypotheticals, but we can get there. We can do a lot of other things. NBA draft, it's amazing. We've been waiting and 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 waiting for this day. And in the last week, we haven't even spoken of it because of what has happened with conference realignment. So we'll talk some NBA draft, some trades that have been flying around out there, big names, not only around the NBA world, also from maybe the state that might be moving, not necessarily Thunder in that one. What are the Thunder going to do? Who do we like? Who do we not like? Go there. And then at the top of the show, of course, is the SEC vote of presidents and chancellors today. And the Big 12 fired back with a vengeance yesterday afternoon. We'll tell you what that was all about. Kind of read the tea leaves there and get going on the show that way. Good morning, Jared Atha.
How are you?
You're suited up. I mean, you are, you know, you always kind of, when summertime, you always kind of bring that jacket with you. Today, you've got her fired on.
Man, it's chilly in here.
It is chillier than normal.
We harp on that, but it's chillier than usual. I don't know why. It's going to be really hot today. I know why.
There's different times, you know, where I'll come in here, whether or not it's this show, record the sports report at in the evenings or in the afternoons, I guess, or just random if I hear that the log is off or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's funny how often when I'm just having to be sitting in here, other of our colleagues will just walk in here and kind of flap their arms just to cool off a little bit, because everybody knows this is the place in the building to cool off. All right, so the SEC vote is expected to be taken today.
Do you know what time that meeting is?
I was kind of looking around for that, and I couldn't find it. I was hoping it would just flash up here in just a little bit.
Just so I can keep an eye on Twitter, you know?
Right, yeah, I've got it open. First off, I think there's been a lot of talk about what will the vote be. Can, you know, originally, would there be four to say no in order to block the move? I think everybody's kind of moved past that to realize that's not happening.
It looks like A&M might even vote.
Well, that was my question. Do you think, is there any chance you think this doesn't pass? And what do you think the vote will be?
If I think it's 100% going to happen. I don't think there's any chance it doesn't pass. I think it's going to happen, and I think it's going to be a unanimous vote. Because no one wants to look like that, I don't know, those outsiders, and you don't want to get on the bad side of the SEC, da-da-da. And just seeing this, I guess this from last night, Texas A&M board says expansion right path, directs the president to approve extending the invites to OU and Texas. So by that, it looks like, and this is the Board of Regents, they voted 8-1 to tell President Catherine Banks, is her name?
To vote yes.
To vote yes.
See, I had read a bunch about this from kind of people
in the know. And you were telling me something the other day about
the SEC.
They could abstain, or they would be forced to abstain if they're going to vote no. So it's going to still look like
it was unanimous no matter what.
A unanimous vote no matter what.
Yeah, that's what I'd read, that Greg Sankey. This is what's going to be weird about joining the SEC to fans of both Oklahoma and Texas, and that's going to be this. There isn't a hierarchy within the schools from a power standpoint, because the SEC commissioner is the judge, jury, and executioner of the thing. There's no power plays to be made.
No,
that's
not like the last time we saw this.
That's just not the way that conference is run.
No,
and so everything that I had read about this vote was going to be, first off, there was never going to be four teams to say no, because you know, in the last vote there was any vote that's kind of been thought about being taken, there was a block of SEC teams, and it was Georgia, South Carolina, Kentucky, and Florida, and they had always kind of gotten together anytime any expansion was talked about and made it known that they would vote against Louisville, Clemson, a Florida State, or Georgia Tech, because they wanted to be the one team in the conference from those states. And then the thought was, well, can A&M convince them to continue to do that? And that was pretty well squashed almost immediately. And here's why. An extra $25 million a year with bringing in Oklahoma and Texas, which is what the number has kind of been thrown out there for every school, the value increase by adding those two. So that was kind of squashed early on. And then from there, it was basically the way I read it was Sankey was going to walk in that room and look at A&M in the face and say, listen, you're either going to vote yes or you're not voting, because we are not going to walk out of this room with a non-unanimous vote.
Right.
Period, end of story. You don't have the clout that you think you do to turn these teams against me on this deal. So either get in line or shut up, basically, is what was going to happen. And it looks like that's been made
known.
Looks
like they're getting in line.
And A&M is going to get in line. Which, here's the deal. At the end of the day, it's easy to be all big and bad until you've got an extra 25 milli thrown at you. Then all of a sudden it's like, well, you know, maybe they're not that bad.
I think another part of it is they – I don't know if they're put in their place, but they're kind of like, you know, we better show a unified front with the rest of the conference that we want that we're going to approve these guys in here. We don't want to be that black sheep of the conference.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying about the difference. And Oklahoma and Texas are going to have to understand that too. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't see it's just a total different way of doing things. And I would say it's obviously worked in their favor by everybody kind of pulling on the same rope. Now, so that's that part of it. That's going to happen at some point today. We're going to know what that vote is. And basically, they are going to extend the invitation to OU and Texas, which as then tomorrow, there's Board of Regents meeting set up in both places to talk about that, accept the invitation, and then that part of it's done.
I mean, I've seen the agenda.
That's all it is.
The OU, it's just one agenda item.
That's right.
Might be the shortest agenda, longest meeting. I mean, they'll go in executive session. Mm-hmm. But I take that back. I don't know how long it could possibly be. It's just all a formality at this point.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Get together, pour a few cocktails, and vote yay.
I think that's where that's headed. Now, that's that. And that's just kind of the, what do you call it? Dadgummit. Just the steps that have to be taken for that to happen. Now, yesterday afternoon, we hadn't heard a lot maybe from Bob Bowlesby or the Big 12 throughout this process, but boy howdy did we hear yesterday as the Big 12 conference sent a cease and desist letter to ESPN alleging that ESPN has been working behind the scenes with multiple teams, a conference, to try and basically destabilize the Big 12 to a point to where they can orchestrate where everybody goes from the Big 12 to other conferences. There was, you know, 3 to 5 teams going to a certain conference. Turns out, throughout a little digging, that was the AAC. You know, I never really saw who was going where, but
yeah, no,
just that basically they were working to destabilize the entire thing to make the conference go away. Bob Bowlesby is clearly upset about that, and for good reason.
Just trying to protect what's left of the conference.
That is true. And so it's an interesting strategy. They didn't sue ESPN, but sending that letter with the threat of suing your TV partner in order to quit mingling with what's left of the conference. A very interesting strategy, because you would think that would go the wrong, that could go the wrong way, and then ESPN would go, okay, well, we're not going to pay you anything. But I don't think that's why he did it. I think he did it because now they can have grounds to sue if these 8 teams want to try to stick it out. They're guaranteed a certain amount of money because ESPN cannot devalue that contract at this point.
Okay.
ESPN owes the Big 12 around $500 million through 2025, through the end of the grant of rights currently. And so by making this move, he's telling ESPN, if you're the reason why this contract would be devalued, because you're the reason that got this ball rolling that made Oklahoma and Texas leave, and now you're trying to make this conference nothing.
So they want to make it nothing, so there's...
So he's saying, if you come to us and say, well, there's only 8 teams left, we can't pay you the $500 million because the value isn't there, he says, I'm going to sue you because you're the reason why the value isn't there. And
right.
So what I'm saying is Bob Bowlesby made this move for the Big 12 to ensure that $500 million stays that $500 million and doesn't drop down. Because a lot of people thought it might get down to $300. You know, schools go from earning $35 million a year down to $20 with the 8 that are left. So I think that is step one in ensuring that if this continues and the Big 12 stays together, we're getting that $500 mil from ESPN no matter how many teams are in the conference.
I see. So what happens if the conference dissolves?
Well, then it all goes. Then it doesn't.
It
doesn't
goes
matter.
Away.
But here's this would be one pretty decent reason why it wouldn't, because
right,
obviously,
right.
If you're one of the 8 teams left, you're thinking you're already getting cold feet, thinking, oh my God, what is that number going to go down to?
Yeah.
With this, now you're thinking, okay, this gives us a few years if that's what we decide to do, because they can't lessen that contract because they're the reason why the contract would be less, is what the letter is saying and where that legal strategy would go. So at that point now you're talking about $500 million split between eight schools, $40 billion a year. You know, at least that gives you kind of some time to think, because you and I both have been thinking this whole time, that contract's going to nothing.
Yeah.
These teams are going to have to move as fast as they can to ensure financial stability within their athletic departments from the TV money. This move by Bob Bowlsby and the Big 12 kind of helps with that not having to be the case immediately. So, like you and I had both talked about this week, thinking, okay, Labor Day weekend, we're going to know where everybody's going. I think this slows that down just a little bit.
Or could it be would it be more attractive for the remaining eight to stay eight? At least through 2025.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and get the payday.
And not only that payday. So then the other part of this is stop the devaluing of the TV contract, A. Mm-hmm. Then B, also make it known, which he clearly did, that ESPN, they had two motivations in this, in the Big 12's mind. One, save $500 million. If they could figure out a way to blow the Big 12 up, that $500 million stays in their pocket.
Right.
And two, get OU and Texas into the SEC as fast and as cheap as possible. Hmm. Which, blowing up the Big 12 would be the fastest, cheapest way right. for that to happen. And Bowlsby kind of put the kibosh on that. So, to your question or your point about staying eight through 2025, financially now, all of a sudden, you've got that $500 million. And then now, the numbers I've seen, 150-ish for Oklahoma and Texas as far as fees.
Total or per?
Total together. So now you throw that one in the pot.
There you go.
If Oklahoma and Texas want to jump next year, which a lot of people think they would. Now, this might throw a wrench into that plan with the money, although, of course, then the Longhorn Network thing we talked about yesterday, too. But let's say, okay, those two schools say, that's fine. Longhorn Network, ESPN, cut them the check. We'll move on. So now you're talking about $650 million between eight schools. Financially, it makes a lot of sense. Now, where does that go with, the competitiveness? If you did that, there's that threat to sue your TV partner. What would happen? I mean, are you just delaying the inevitable until 2025 when everybody disperses anyway? Because a move like this can't make your TV partner happy. So when it comes time to renegotiate in 2025, what does that look like? And the problem that I think those eight would have in the short term, not. Financially, it'd be a boom. But in 2025, you've now upset the king of college football, which is ESPN.
Incredible drama. It just feels like a soap opera with a new season after new season.
What do you think would be the reaction? Because I assume this is possible. It's a public meeting. And Bob Bowlsby talked about not being able to get answers from OU in Texas. They won't tell them how long they want to go. I mean, obviously, I think on the school's side, for good reason, because they're trying for that to be nothing. what I'm saying?
Right.
And ESPN apparently has had a hand in this. Talk about drama. How cool would the drama be if tomorrow, at that public meeting of the OU Board of Regents, Bob Bowlsby strolls in?
Well, it'd be no different from me strolling in. There's no public comment on the agenda. There's no...
What if he brought in, Vincenzo Pantangeli, and he knows where... From The Godfather, too.
Okay.
And he knows where the bodies are buried. Could you
think
see?
There's a lot of skeletons in OU's closet.
I don't know, but what if there were? And all of a sudden it's like, oh, no, never mind, SEC. We were just kidding about that. No. They made me say it. The FBI made me say what they want me to say. The SEC made me say it.
Back to your question, him showing up, it wouldn't matter if it was me, you, him. It'd just be another face in the crowd. But you're right, it is an open meeting, and anyone can show up, and if he wanted to, he could. But the agenda is set, and you can't add stuff on an agenda, especially, less than 30 hours away from the meeting. So,
right.
But it'd be a heck of a flex, a weird flex at that. Go in and just sit down and look at everybody. Please, just trying to, get in their minds and say, don't vote yes.
Yeah, no, I was trying to think, who could he bring with him?
I don't know.
Like Dan Beebe or somebody, the whole commission. I don't know who it could be.
The Jayhawk mascot? I don't know. What would it?
The ghost of Nebraska past.
Crazy.
All right, it's something else that popped up yesterday. And I think we all knew that there was going to be major repercussions from the NIL, name, image, likeness stuff.
Yeah.
I think we all knew there was going to be unintended consequences.
Sure.
I think we found our first one yesterday. Did you see the story from Quinn Ewers?
Yes.
So Quinn Ewers is going to be a senior in high school starting a month from now at South Lake Carroll down in Texas. He's the number one recruit in the 2022 class. People are comparing his abilities out of high school to that of Trevor Lawrence coming out of high school, the best quarterback prospect since, with the tools and all that. So he's committed to Ohio State. And, thinking to be there, probably in the spring ball, spring ball 2022.
Right.
He announced yesterday that he is considering foregoing his senior year, enrolling at Ohio State. I assume is just a student at this point, right? I mean, he wouldn't be on the football team yet.
No, there's no way.
So he's enrolling as a student because he believes there's $1 million worth of NIL endorsement money available to him as the superstar next Ohio State quarterback. That just and here's the deal. Texas High School has a rule against NIL money.
I believe Oklahoma does.
So
I saw a map that said which states didn't allow it, and some it's kind of murky. But Oklahoma and Texas were definitely.
Seems like there are 19 that are yes, a couple that are maybe not, and then everybody else is no.
Right.
Pandora's box has officially been open if he does this.
Assuming he forgoes his senior season or last fall semester of high school, does that mean and he can enroll at Ohio State? Does that mean he's qualified? I mean, he could graduate right now.
I assume so.
I mean, why not?
You want to play your senior season of high school football?
Or do you want to make $1 million?
I mean, that's the only thing I can tell you. That's the argument against.
I mean, I don't see him jumping through any loopholes. I'm trying not to defend him, but I'm like, well, if he kept his nose clean and got his grades and he's done, if he can get a diploma, why not? Obviously Ohio State's going to accept him to enroll early. I mean, you're right. Pandora's box is open, but
I mean, this might be a yearly thing, but it's going to be with one or two guys.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, this isn't going to completely disintegrate high school football. But if you're one of those guys on his team thinking, hey, here we go. Let's get us a ring. Dragons. Woo.
Oh, yeah. Now he's not there.
It's like, well, well, maybe we're not going to win without. It's an interesting
thing. Well,
then you
got somebody's daddy on the South Lake Carroll's team that happens to be a legislator in Texas, and he's going to go to the top and go, all right, we need to make this available for our state and the kids in our state because we're losing kids.
Is that where it ends up? Where each state ends up allowing high school kids
and then said,
to earn
endorsement deals. And then said legislator who happens to own a car dealership in Austin says, hey, why don't you come over here and we'll take your picture. You can sign a few autographs. We'll give you some money.
It's pretty crazy. I mean, we kind of joked about it when it happened as far as high school, but I too many more of these happen. I think that's where it goes. And especially something about this situation that probably makes it a little bit more squishy is that he was committed to Texas first.
Yeah.
Then decommitted to Ohio State during the Herman time. Now it's a different deal, Sarkisian, and you know good and well they're sitting down there in Austin thinking if Casey Thompson or Hudson Card, whichever, can be good and show promise in this offense with Sarkisian, we would have a shot to get Quinn Ewers. Which, here's another question. Just because he goes to Ohio State as a student, his athletic clock hasn't started. He hasn't signed a national letter of intent.
Yeah.
Could he go get some Ohio State money and then go, never mind, I'm going to head down to Austin.
I'm transferring to UT. Yeah.
Up next spring.
And I thought the news, I saw his name, and I thought he's going to decommit and go to Texas because of two things. Found better NIL opportunities closer to home and the SEC.
Yeah. I mean, that's something that we're going to be talking about for sure. You hope from an OU and Texas standpoint moving forward that some of those kids that they're reasoning they're going to A&M or LSU or Alabama is SEC, maybe they stay here.
Right.
That's a huge motivation to make this move. But I thought it was super interesting that the high school ranks have now got into the NIL problem or boon, I guess, of money. And a guy's going to not play his senior year, so you go make $1 million in the fall semester so that he can enroll and start being on a football team in the spring.
And on the recruiting side of things, to askew a little bit, if I'm not trying to take a shot at Oklahoma State, but, you know, the young man from Beggs, the kid who flipped from OU to go to OSU because of the whole – you think now they're thinking, maybe OU or Texas or maybe they are a little bit – or A&M where the kid from Beggs was originally committed to. I mean, you see what I'm saying? It would make me really nervous if I'm one of what is now the Big Eight schools in recruiting in the states of Oklahoma and Texas.
Yeah, and that's one reason to not slow this down.
We haven't seen it yet, but I wonder if, like, after, say, today or tomorrow, this weekend or whenever, we start to see some kids go, I'm going to decommit and reconsider.
Yeah, but here's going to be a problem with that.
Like, when does this start affecting recruiting?
Yeah, or
is it going to have an immediate effect, or is it going to take a little bit? Like for the 2023 class, you know?
I think you're going to have to know when those schools are really going to play.
Right, right.
Because right now,
right,
you could be recruiting a kid that will never play there if it really lasts until 2025.
That's true.
No, I'm there in 2022, play great. 2024, I'm out of there. I never play in the SEC.
Right.
So I think that's when you're going to start seeing it.
When that definite answer comes, and we'll start seeing it.
That's right. In studio tomorrow, a couple of guys are going to be playing at the 24th annual KECO Moran Equipment Open. It'll be Rain Gibson, who I'll have to see exactly what his status is. I know he's played PGA Tour events last week, Korn Ferry Tour events as well. He's going to be in to talk about all kinds of different things. John Hart as well, Folds of Honor. We got a cool golf cart. Which I think you can go to maybe the KECO Facebook page, selling 300 tickets for $100 a piece for that golf cart. I mean, it is sweet.
Can we get in on that?
I don't.
Are we disqualified since we're employees?
I have no idea.
I checked it out. It was nice.
Oh.
Did you see it?
Yeah, Blake had it here a couple days ago. I mean, it's got GPS. It's got the sound system. It's got everything.
I'll tell you what, we'll share that on our Facebook page.
Yes, we will. So
no Tony Romo tomorrow?
Okay, so here's the deal. I mean, we haven't mentioned it yet. It's the worst kept secret of all time.
I wonder why.
Tony Romo was signed up to play. He really, really was. And then on Sunday, when he got invited into the Texas State Open, they that team replaced Romo with another guy. Well, when you look at the leaderboard of the Texas State Open, that other guy's name is Martin Flores, who played at OU early part of the 2000s. Well, he's 6 under par through 2 rounds. He's making the cut, guaranteed. Matter of fact, he's tied 14th right now. Tony Romo is down at tied 88th at 1 over par through 5 holes a day. I know they got the second part, the afternoon wave, basically got rained out yesterday down in Tyler, Texas. And so Romo's finishing his second round. The cut's at 2 under par. He's 1 over through 5 for the tournament. So maybe, since Martin's making the cut and doesn't look like Tony is, maybe they switch back. Maybe we get a text that says, you know what, never mind. Flores out, Romo in, and then everybody's got number 9 jerseys at the golf tournament this weekend.
Maybe.
I, for one, would accept that change.
That'd be cool.
It'd be cool to have Martin Flores there, too. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
And Rain Gibson.
And Rain Gibson, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Tones Romes was in the tournament.
We can't confirm that, but now we can. We don't.
He's
know
not in the moment. He's not at the moment. He is not on the list.
Yeah.
And if he turns out he is on the list, I'm not telling anybody.
Oh no.
You know
we know somebody in this building will.
Well, that's who you don't tell.
Yes, please.
You know, I had a great idea when we thought he was going to be here, and I just assumed that he and I would be buddies for life after he came up for the weekend.
Oh really?
Yeah, I just assumed that.
We invite us to a Cowboy game.
Yeah, maybe something sweet or whatever.
Yeah. Go, hey, but come job shadow me.
What I assumed we would do after we became really good buddies would be Tuesdays with Tony.
Tuesdays.
Right here on the show. Have Tony call us every Tuesday to talk about the NFL, what he thought about, what he saw over the weekend.
I wonder what Jim would think about that.
I think he'd be cool with it. We wouldn't tell him, probably.
Just let him find it out on his own.
But, I mean, it kind of has a nice ring to it, right? Tuesdays with Tony. That dream may be smashed if he doesn't make it up. But this weekend, it'll be a great, great time out at the 24th annual KECO Moran Equipment Open.
Uh-oh. Doesn't matter who's there.
Getting threats.
It's always fun.
Getting threats on the text line about not telling if he's coming.
Oh, wow. It's a bold statement right there from one of our texters.
The bold strategy, Cotton.
Bold.
We'll see if it'll work. Anyhow, we'll see what's going to work tonight in the NBA draft for the Oklahoma City Thunder. As Sam Presti has amassed literally 10% of the 60 picks tonight, with 6 of them, 3 in the first round, 2 at the top of the second round. So 5 of the first 36, I believe, picks are owned by the Oklahoma City Thunder. And so, obviously, they will be a pretty important part of what's going on and how that goes. No, you owe me $10, Drew. Trace won. Anyway.
That was random.
Yeah, we had a bet. The OGA State AM, I took Trace and he took Luke Phillips.
Okay.
Anyway.
That's power of radio right there. We can call out anybody who owes us money.
Yeah, you owe me $10. Anyway.
Fortunately, nobody owes me money. So
we got the Thunder at 6, 16, 18, 33, 34, 36. Oh, it says still low. I get it. I didn't read very well. Anyway, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think there's any chance in the world that Oklahoma City makes all 3 of those first-round selections?
No. All 3 of the first round? No, the best chance is the 6, but I think the other 2, I can see them moving up to around the 10 spot. That's what I've been hearing.
So since 16 and 18 for 10.
To get up, yeah, they're trying to move up to acquire someone from, I can't say their name, from Turkey, something like that. I was hearing that on the drive-in this
morning. Usman Garuba?
I guess. You could have said any name and I would have agreed with you. But
or is it Alperin Sengun?
Yeah, you know, Kunzuntide. I don't know, but I definitely 6, and you know, there's it just sounds – I'm reading more and more that, yes, they want to get into the top three, but those three are basically wanting way too much than what the Thunder want to give up.
I mean, I really read an article this morning that was trying to convince me that the Cleveland Cavaliers turned down SGA and six for the third pick.
No, I would. I think it's
the
way
around.
On. They turned around. That's what they wanted, and the Thunder turned them
down. It's the same thing as with the first pick.
Yes.
When Detroit tried to float that out there.
Yeah.
For some, and this is such a baffling thing, and I don't understand it. But it's like these. It's like some. There's a belief around the league, clearly, that the Thunder would turn loose of SGA. Or maybe they're trying to create that belief around the league with some of these stories you're reading. I mean, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And then you read another one out of Cleveland that the Thunder may be one of the teams that would be a front runner if Cleveland decides to unload Colin Sexton because OKC believes those two really fit together in the backcourt.
Okay, yeah.
You know, and then what
more
would
believable
that,
than the other?
What
stuff.
Would that look like? Yeah. I mean, there is no chance in the world that Cleveland really turned down SGA and six for the third pick. That doesn't even make sense. It's just, don't write that article because it's not true. And everybody just looks at it and goes, nope.
Yeah. Listen, really, if you're not paying attention and you're just scrolling through Twitter or on Facebook and you see this stuff put out there, it doesn't mean it's true. Really pay attention to where it's coming from. You know, the blue check mark goes a long ways for me on Twitter. And sometimes any more rumors that are floated around there in the NBA, I take them with a grain of salt unless it's a Woj bomb.
Yeah, or Shams.
Yeah. It's from credited sources. But anybody, and this was said brilliantly this morning on the Morning Animals, anybody can just sit in their basement, go to the trade machine, say, that trade works, and then tweet it out, and people think that's a legit thing that's happening.
I've got one that works.
Throw it at me.
Colin Sexton, Kevin Love, and the third pick for Kemba Walker, the sixth pick, and I think I even threw in Lou Dort.
Oh, you don't want to give up that contract to
Why?
Lou Dort?
You know what? I'm going to tell you right now. Lou Dort's contract right now is gold. You know what it's going to be? Something hanging around somebody's neck here in about 2 years.
That's
because
true.
He is going to get so massively overpaid. He might be the first guy ever that goes from the greatest contract to the worst in the league in one failed swipe of a pen.
Right.
Yeah, he's great at $1 million. Paying $15 million, all of a sudden you're going, good God, why did we give Lou Dort $15 million?
Yeah.
He can't shoot. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
right,
that's,
yeah.
So,
I mean, I guess that makes sense to get to that third pick. To get to, you know, it would be a winning situation for OKC to get to that third pick. To get Mobley and still have SGA. And who'd you say?
Colin Sexton. And Kevin Love just to make the money work.
Kevin Love, yeah. So, I mean, he was an Olympian before he had to pull out. But I could see that one work.
Yeah. It was just,
moves will be made tonight. I cannot put my finger on the pulse and find out where.
And that's the reason why all this stuff is so bogus. Because you know good and well Presti isn't leaking it out there.
No. Do you think we'll know anything, say, before 6 o'clock tonight?
I do think if one of these major trades happens, you know, because once the draft starts, they got to go through the ridiculous charade of this team drafts this guy, but it's really for this team. They trade, and then this, you know, they have to switch the hats. That is just the dumbest thing ever. It's the collective bargaining agreement is a problem. With that, and that's why that has to happen. They need to fix that because it's just dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Have Adam Silver walk up to the mic like Goodell does and said, the sixth pick has been traded to da-da-da. Instead of them, I mean, all those ridiculous photos you see year in, year out of Dirk in a Milwaukee hat when he's never going to play there.
Or
anyway.
Trey in a Dallas hat.
Yeah, and all that stuff. Yeah, it's just dumb. So I think if it's going to be one of those major moves like that, it'll happen pre-draft, and then the picks will be swapped, and then you know the Thunder will make the third pick.
Yeah.
I think if you don't hear that, then it's going to be something different. And that leads to the, you know, the next question. Of all these guys, I mean, there's been rumblings about Damian Lillard, Ben Simmons, you know, Kemba Walker, obviously, as soon as he got to the Thunder, everybody's trying to figure out where he's going next.
Right.
And then this morning, driving in, I'm hearing Buddy Hield to the Lakers, you know.
Yeah.
So I guess my question for you is, who will be the biggest name traded tonight?
Buddy. That's the first I've heard of it was this morning.
Yeah, I'd seen the Lakers stuff before. Dallas also apparently in that mix.
I think if Ben Simmons is going to get traded, it would have happened already. And I think the longer that it doesn't happen, the longer it's going to take for him to be moved. Because I think more and more teams who were at the time, as soon as they were bounced from the playoffs, were thinking, well, we can get our hands on him and probably get him at a good price. Or you know, we don't have to give up much. And then they've had time to look at it and think about, I don't know if we really need him. Do we really want him? Do we want to take that on? And that's dragging out longer and longer. So I don't think that just suddenly happens tonight. Damian Lillard's such a big name. Hard to see him being moved on draft night.
Yeah, I saw yesterday where he was talking about, you know, the prospects of that, and he wasn't against doing what James Harden did to force his way out of Portland once the season starts, which everybody knows how we both felt about that and the ridiculousness that that was.
Yeah. And I don't think that's fair for – listen, I don't like Portland. I've never – I guess it's a Northwest thing. But not politically, just being against the Thunder, you know, in how they – and I don't like Dame Lillard because the way he's always taking on this personal vendetta against the Thunder for some reason.
And the way he waved the Thunder off
the court.
I guess
he just never really liked Westbrook, or they still don't. But all that being said, he seems like a guy that has had a lot of respect or has a lot of respect for Portland and the organization. I just can't see him doing what Harden did to Houston.
Yeah, I would agree. And maybe,
see what I'm saying?
Maybe, though, he
feels
like – I see
him exiting Portland more like Westbrook exited Oklahoma City.
And I think that's what he wants.
Yeah.
But if push comes to shove, maybe he can't. Maybe that doesn't happen, and he has to kind of force his way out. We'll see on that front what they do tonight. Okay,
well, I think Buddy is realistic. I think he and I've heard Lakers. I've heard Dallas. I think that, and I could see both ownerships or manager GMs for both Dallas and the Lakers pulling triggers on tonight on maybe a Buddy Hield, because I think he is that good. He could be that excellent role player on a team that needs a guy like that. I think they both need somebody like him.
Yeah, he can shoot. And when they've got distributors, one LeBron or Luka to spread the floor.
Right, yeah.
You said we talked yesterday about the number one pick. You're convinced Cade Cunningham is the guy.
Yeah, about like 99%.
I mean,
convinced.
If it was you would take it.
Yeah, I saw some report out there that Detroit isn't 100% on him, but I think at the end of the day or in the night that it'll be him. Yeah, and he's the guy. If I'm picking one guy, that's him.
So in 5 years, you're thinking, okay, he'll be the best player in this class.
It's easy to say that now, but hindsight's 2020.
I mean,
how many times have we gone back? Who was the best player 5 years ago?
Well, sure, and a lot of times it's not the number
not
one
the
pick.
Number one.
I'll tell you who I like. It's hard to say you'd take him, but I tell you who I think when we get 5 years down the road or 10 or whatever, I think Jalen Green is going to be the best player in this draft.
Okay.
At 19 years old, and it's small sample size with only 15 games, but he did play 15 games in the G League at 19 years old, 46% shooting from the field, 37 from three as a 19-year-old, and on almost six attempts. So – a little bit better than two out of every six, and he averaged 18 a game against grown men. That intrigues the heck out of me versus somebody that played in college. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so the comparisons are to guys that, I mean, Kobe, with ability and athleticism, you know what I'm saying, and the mentality. It'd be hard to do right now, though, because of what Cade Cunningham showed at OSU.
Right.
In that many, you know, the sample size is so much bigger. It'd be hard to pull that trigger if you're Detroit. And it looks like Detroit, if they don't draft Cunningham, they're leaning more Mobley anyhow. But I think Houston may get, you know what they may get? They may get the luck of the lottery the way Oklahoma City did with Kevin Durant.
Having the best player drop to them because there's
– because you have to take the other guy.
Preached that Cade
right.
Cunningham is the number one slam dunk pick. Yeah.
If the Thunder stay at six, who do you want to see him pick?
Apparently, Book Knight is something that's been in the Thunder conversation.
Do you really believe
even
2
years ago?
When you see that name every mock draft, do you really believe that's who they're taking?
I read before the deadline period to declare, the Thunder were kind of inquiring about him. Like, hey, are you going to play another year? Are you going to come out early? Because we're interested. And he chose to go to UConn for one more year. And now it could just fall, in their lap because of how everything went this year and then the unluck of the lottery and put them at six, and that's where he kind of fits in with them. And then the stuff, like I said, about sources and stuff, where I've read that is pretty credible. So, hell, I pay for the service. I hope it I hope it's true.
Yeah, I'm reading it right now.
Yeah. So and it sounds like if he's the best available, then that's who they're going to go with. And they've worked with him. They've had him, I think on what I read, they've had him in more than once to work him out.
I think that's right,
yeah.
And
is it a flashy pick? Probably not.
Well, the shooting appears to be the problem. But one thing you got to – and I think we saw this and you're seeing with Austin Reeves, meaning, everybody's like, why did he shoot so much better at Wichita State than OU? Well, he had the ball in his hands and people were guarding him. And I think Book Knight, if you look at his combine workouts and that kind of stuff, he's been shooting it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to make shots with three guys on you.
Well, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so maybe those guys, and I think Reeves is a perfect example of that. And you're seeing him kind of start to climb up the middle to top of the second round all of a sudden because teams are figuring out, wait a minute, that guy really can shoot, even though his numbers in college don't look very good. Right here, what was he, 45 to the Celtics. So right there in the middle of the second round for him. And maybe Book Knight's that way too. And that's why he's climbing
up
the board. It would be weird to think that everybody would know what they'd do. But when you read that and that they were asking if he was going to come out last year, maybe they have zeroed in on him. And there's been times where that's happened where, the Reggie Jackson pick way back when. Everyone going into that draft said, Reggie's got a promise from somebody, and everybody thought it was the Thunder. And they were right. Mitch McGarry was the same way. He quit working out for teams. He's got a promise from somebody. Who it is? Oh, I think it's the Thunder. And it was. So maybe that's, trying to read the tea leaves here in that same way. I love Davion Mitchell. I don't know if I'd pick him at six.
But
if you think he's – that's the difference in the NBA draft and the NFL draft. That value that you always talk about in the NFL, it's different to me in the NBA. If you would take a guy at 10 and you have the six – hell, if you think he's the best player, take him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just not – to me, it's not quite the same way. And I love Davion Mitchell. And I think he's going to be a good pro. Just because he's 23, you're going to be 23 – whatever. The dude is going to be a stud. He's just going to be one of those guys. Can't you see him in that better Patrick Beverley role for some team?
Yeah.
Can shoot it better, play defense, be a pest. Wouldn't it be fun to have one of those guys on the Thunder instead of against the Thunder?
Absolutely.
He would be a guy if you see, the Thunder are traded for the 10th pick. From 16 and 18, I wonder if it wouldn't be for him. Don't forget, Rain Gibson, John Hart in here tomorrow. Talking all kinds of golf stuff, 24th Annual KECO Moran Equipment Open this weekend, Elk City Golf and Country Club. Sounds like the horse race is full, 20-person horse race.
It's full?
It's full. Right. Just got that text.
Let me get that.
So we got 20 members. We're going to have two 10-player.
Has there ever been that many?
Nope. First time. Going to send them off on each side and merge with four to go.
Cool.
So we'll have Rain and John Hart, Folds of Honor, talking about that golf cart, how you can try to win. It is cool. Very, very cool. All right. You got about 2 minutes. Joey Gallo, go.
Joey Gallo gone. Traded to the Yankees of all the teams. Isn't that the way it goes? Your favorite team, if you get, if one of your players gets dealt, it has to be the Yankees. It just stings a little more. And I saw the news, and my big question was, who they get? Because there's always been the rumors of Joey Gallo going or being tradable. And Rangers get a plethora of prospects, which is just what they do. It's what John Daniels has done through this, what are we going on, 6 years of a rebuild? And honestly, who goes that long rebuilding, getting prospects after prospects after prospects? And you got a guy like Joey Gallo, who just during the All-Star break was asked about, and he said he loves being a Ranger, wants to stay a Ranger his whole career. And the Rangers said, we're good, and sent him on his way. I'm frustrated, man. And losing does that to people, right? Just breaks you down, and it just makes you, just gets you frustrated. And there, you know, I know there's a whole process to this, but I've said it even before the season started. I've said it for years. John Daniels has got to move on. I think ownership is inept because they don't see it. Tough to be a Ranger fan right now.
The problem for the fans is it's easy to sell the hope if you're John Daniels to the owners. No, we got this guy and this guy and this guy, and they're going to be.
Right.
At what point does going to be run out?
Yeah.
When does the clock stop ticking?
Yeah.
But he's clearly got him convinced.
You get rid of Jerickson Profar. You get rid of Elvis Andrews. You get rid of Joey Gallo. Who's next?
What's the guy's name now, the young guy that was on fire?
Garcia?
Yeah.
He's probably next.
Well, at some point you'd like to think that
send him to Boston and we'll get some more of their prospects.
What about Jack Leiter? He signed. It's good.
That's
good news.
That's great. But when he gets good, let's get rid of him. Let's get more prospects. We're turning into the farm team. Major League farm team.
The Yankees. The Yankees farm squad.
Not even just the Yankees, the leagues. I mean, he's dealt so much within the AL West, it drives me crazy.
Yeah, that's true.
Drives me nuts. Okay, we're done. We're out of time. Here's our baseball talk.
If only.
My season's over, by the way. My baseball season's over.
If only Nelly Cruz could play right field.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.